there, just 56 days left in the old year. On this date in history, 1872, suffragist Susan B. Anthony defied the law by attempting to cast a vote for President Grant. And on this date in 1935, Parker Brothers came out with a game they called Monopoly. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We're Billy and Patrick for Kia's Light Up the Holiday sales event. We both own Kias and we love them.
Light up your holidays and make no payments until after the new year on Redding Kia's award-winning lineup.
Great deals are waiting for you right now in the 2018 Kia Sorento, the highest-ranked midsize SUV in initial quality in 2017. With available 7-passenger seating and all-wheel drive, Kia Sorento sets the bar a little higher.
The 2017 Kia Niro Hybrid is the highest-ranked small SUV in initial quality. The fuel economy is outstanding, and like all Kias, it's backed by America's best warranty.
Test drive a 2018 all-wheel drive Kia Sportage, the SUV that can tackle the toughest roads with confidence. It's a KBB Best Buy.
And the 2018 Kia Soul is ready to light up your holidays, too. Kia Soul, the highest-ranked compact multi-purpose vehicle in initial quality in 2017.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com.
Complimentary lifetime oil changes with every new Kia purchase.
Redding Kia, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, reddingkia.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds.
It wasn't good there for a bit.
Good. Everybody's rambling and scrambling and jumping into their chairs and running into the studio. Had to run out and get my phone.
Not the phone.
Boy.
Can't do without the phone. He
feels naked without his phone.
I feel naked without my phone. I feel like buck naked. Anyway, my name is Mark Kent. I am your host.
No. It's too early for things like that.
How'd that do that? That give you a nice impression in your mind there?
Get
out of there!
Damn it. I'll be screwed up all day now.
Yeah, that could be my new radio. I'm the new DJ, Buck Naked.
Okay.
And I'm your host with the bostus. Oh, boy.
Never mind. Leave it alone.
Today is November 5th, 2017. We've only got a couple of weeks, and we're going to be at the end of the year. Wow.
A little bit more than a couple.
Well, okay, 2 months to be exact. But, yeah, just a few weeks, and we're there.
I know.
Anyway, it's crazy. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
And Bob Martin, a trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark, Linda, and Red.
Excuse me.
Good morning.
And Red Smith, who's now in the unfunded seventh circle of non-existent recovery, while the mainstream media prostitutes, politicians, and self-serving banksters have spun the truth into a tattered remnant of the old greatness we called glory.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Something like that. Anyway, we are streaming worldwide from the great state of Jefferson. You can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well, and you can find me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Also, State of Jefferson meets at 5:30 every Monday night. right before the Reading Patriots meeting at 6, and that's at 3276 Pacelli Lane. We highly recommend that you get going on there. Go to SLJ51 and learn how to donate to the cause. Get involved. Figure out what's going on. Pull your head out of the sand and wherever else it might be at this point.
I guess it depends on who you're talking to.
Whatever orifice you prefer. Limited government fiscal responsibility and adherence to the Constitution. Good grief. What a bunch of radical racists.
We are.
Veterans events?
We do. We've got Veterans Day coming this next...
I thought we just had... That was the parade.
That was the parade, and it was a great parade. The weather held for us, which was nice. We didn't have to march in the rain or anything. That's always a good thing. But we do have Veterans Day coming up, and it'll be out at the Igo Cemetery. And it starts at 10:55 a.m. That's when flyover is, and then the ceremony at 11. So come out and join us. It's always a good time out there, and bring your children, your grandchildren, or whoever else, and explain to them and let them see exactly what freedom is all about and what people have done for us to keep our freedom.
Let it ring. Okay, yeah. So the quote of the day, the Constitution only guarantees the American people the right to pursue happiness. You have to catch it yourself. Ben Franklin. So I guess we've got a guest.
We do have a guest. Gary Hollihan, if you could call back. We have a guest coming on, and he's only on for a short time, so we would like to get to him. But if you would call us back after we're done with our guest, we would appreciate that.
Most appreciated.
Yeah, yeah, we would.
Who is our guest?
We have Russ Varney, I believe is how you say his last name, and he is executive producer for James O'Keefe. Are you there, Russ?
Yes, I am, and it's a pleasure to be on with you and an honor to visit with your listeners.
Very good.
We're glad to have you on. We will take you, and hopefully you can give us some updates to what's going on with James. I know you guys are keeping real busy over there where you're at.
Project Veritas, one of my favorites. So the last incident was the New York, I guess it's the old gray rag ain't what she used to be type thing.
New York Times.
And can you give us an update?
Yes, I can. Earlier this year, Mark, James O'Keefe in January said that our target for this year, above all others, will be the media, both mainstream media and social media, because we just don't think that they're giving people an honest representation of the news. They're giving us a narrative that that supports their political viewpoint. So earlier this year, we did a 3 or 4 part expose in CNN, and just over the last month, we've released several stories dealing with the New York Times. In the first one, we find a guy that by the name of Nick Dudick working for them, who explains that he's in charge of all the videos that the New York Times puts out on social media, and working with his friends at YouTube, he's able to manipulate them so that the ones that support the Times' viewpoint that Trump is bad don't get seen, do get seen, and the ones that would support Trump as good don't get seen. So between the New York Times and the YouTube, they're able to manipulate the impression that the people have of stories that are covered by the New York Times.
Well, that's
so the New York Times came out right after that and said, "You know, gee, that's just a low-level young kid, a junior editor," implying that, you know, he didn't really know what he was talking about, and that his representation that everybody at the New York Times sort of hated Trump was incorrect. And that the sinful person was O'Keefe for sending somebody in undercover to get this person's real viewpoint as opposed to putting a microphone in front of them and letting them say no comment. So next we went to London and we found this senior editor. Remember, the New York Times said that Dudick was just a junior editor. So we found a senior editor for the New York Times. And she told us that everybody there at the New York Times hates Donald Trump and that the news is slanted and hopes that Trump wouldn't get elected, and to show that people hate Trump and that President Pence is a real danger to the country because of his religious viewpoints.
And that was Des Shue. Is that who that was?
Yeah, right. The senior editor, Des Shue. And she's the editor of the New York Times website homepage. So she's clearly telling us about the liberal bias at the New York Times and how they hate Trump and Pence and want to do anything they can to destroy them. Now the New York Times is sort of caught because they said, well, the problem the first time around was that it was just a junior editor. Well, now we got somebody whose title even says, I'm a senior editor. And then we went and we found a person who'd been a consultant in the newsroom for 20 years. He was an IT consultant in the newsroom for 20 years, so he made a lot of friends in there. And he clearly says that everyone in that newsroom hates Trump. So James went and confronted the deputy managing editor of the New York Times, Clifford Levy, and put a microphone in front of him and said, do you have any comment? Because this news outlet that makes a living by asking people questions, they didn't have any answers. So Clifford Levy had nothing to say. And then after that, Dean Basquet, who's the managing editor, was confronted by James O'Keefe on the streets of New York City of Manhattan, and he again had absolutely nothing to say, wouldn't answer any questions that James asked. So for a news outlet that relies on people answering questions, they wouldn't answer any questions of their own, but they did change their social media policy. Instruct their employees of what they can and can't post in their own name because they are representatives of the paper. And Nick Dudick's name is no longer in their employee directory, so we don't know whether he's been let go or just exiled someplace. We suspect he's been let go, but the New York Times is not talking.
Wow, do you think these guys even have an ounce of credibility left? I mean, good grief. I mean, it just seems like it's off the charts.
I think the narrative that we've gotten from CNN and the New York Times, they do have credibility with their audience. They have a specific audience that they want to play to get the right clicks or the right viewership. And it's all about ratings and advertisers' dollars. So the New York Times has got its audience. It's not going to be putting out conservative stories because its audience is liberal. CNN, their click-throughs were coming because of the Russia story, even though one of Obama's former spokespeople even said that the Russia stories was a nothing burger. He's also an analyst for CNN. He said the Russian story is a nothing burger, but the management of CNN wanted the Russia story out there because everybody was following it, as opposed to, say, climate change or any other national policy that people weren't so willing to tune in every day as a soap opera. So it's all about the ratings, all about the click-throughs, it's all about the advertising dollars, not about the truth to the public. So, yeah, they're being honest to their constituents only, and they're delivering to their constituents what their constituents want to hear, which slants the news.
Which has no bearing on the truth, evidently, because it's really clear the divisions have been drawn. I mean, you've got the right, the left, you know, extreme right, extreme left, and then somewhere in the middle, you know, I mean, you'd think people would actually want to find out what the truth is. If it wasn't for you guys, I mean, none of this stuff would be exposed.
We're just beginning, too. We think this is the fall of fake news. We're going to keep going. There's plenty of other mainstream media. There's lots of social media out there that they can slant what the public sees and hears. And we want to get in. We would love to be sitting in the editorial board meeting of you know, the NBC News every morning, or the Washington Post, or Google, or Twitter. You know, when they're making their decisions of what they're going to emphasize and what's going to get prominent play in their medium, we'd like to be there hearing that decision. And if we can't get it right from the executive editor board or the editorial board, then we'll take it from the employees. And, you know, when you do it undercover, you're getting their candid viewpoint of something as opposed to their talking points or their no comment, as we're getting from the senior officials at CNN and New York Times, where we confront them after our stories have gone out and ask them what they're doing to correct their ways, and they just don't want to talk. So getting the candid camera in there, going in undercover, and get a candid viewpoint from the employees is the best way we can show what's actually going on in these media companies.
Well, I think the social media is the key, absolutely, because, I mean, Trump said it himself. If it wasn't for social media, he probably wouldn't have won the election. I mean, that's how much power the social media seems to be carrying out there. And there was a complete turnaround after the 2012 election of people starting to use Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all of these other mediums in order to get the message out from a conservative point. So it's kind of like a gun. It depends on whose hands it's in.
Well, and it depends on who's controlling what the end consumer is seeing and hearing. You know, if you've got somebody out there posting something conservative and somebody else posting something liberal, and one is buried and the other is promoted, then you've got an aberration going on to the readers. Where if each are given equal viewpoint, you know, the public can make up their mind. But if you're only hearing one side of a story, you think that's the entire story.
Now, isn't that illegal? Isn't that illegal for them to do that?
Well, they're private companies, you know, and I think the recent lawsuit by Prager University against Twitter, I think it's against, is. It's claiming that they are, in fact, a quasi-public forum. I mean, private companies don't have to uphold somebody's First Amendment rights, and they don't have to allow everybody to use their platform. But when they become so prevalent in the ability to communicate among the public, then they could, in fact, be considered a quasi-public forum and be subject to First Amendment considerations. So I think Prager University is bringing that point forward with respect to one or more of the I guess it's YouTube that they're suing. They've been blocked off of YouTube, and that's become, you know, so many millions and millions and millions of people looking at it. It's become a limited public forum, and they don't think it's appropriate to be censored off there.
I would think it.
There's a lot of battles going on, as we're seeing in Congress with Twitter and Facebook and YouTube testifying before Congress. There's a lot of nefarious ways of using those platforms, as the Russians apparently found out, and something's going to have to be done to make them more impartial. And even in our New York Times series, which, you know, any of you listeners can go to www.projectveritas.com and look them up. In the New York Times series, and Nick Dudick was talking about a friend of his that he had used to work with at one of the campaigns, who is now working for YouTube, and he has the ability to influence what gets posted, even in spite of the fact they have algorithms that are supposed to be doing it fair and impartially. He has the ability to influence the actual posting of products. So he was helping Nick Dudick of the New York Times make sure that his stories that were negative of Trump got prominent play, and the ones that were laudatory of Donald Trump were buried.
I would think that this would actually go right to the heart of national security as well as the First Amendment, because if you have a forum that is so big that it can be propagandized, like you say, by the Russians as an example, that's how you know, that's a slippery slope. How do you make that fair and balanced in a public forum? Otherwise, you just have to wipe that out and go to another platform that is fair and balanced, I guess.
Yeah, and of course, market forces affect it. Once the public starts knowing that what they're seeing in these forums isn't a free flow of information, but in fact a slanted viewpoint, then you're going to have the best correction possible, which is more speech, not less speech. Instead of restricting, say, Facebook that is slanting their news coverage one way, you'd have another one that's equally as big as Facebook, and they might be slanting the news the other way. And you can consider them both in making up your mind. So I'm not sure we want to restrict a lot of speech, but we want to create more speech
more
so
avenues.
That the public can make up their mind where the truth is.
Right. I totally agree with that. It seems like the big companies that have gone into the social media platforms, you know, are typically left leaning for whatever reason, whether it's the fact that the big boys that are running the show, the multinational corporations, have bought them up or whatever. But I don't know how that you could make sure that you had a platform that was actually conservative.
Well, I think the market factors, the market forces will ultimately do that. But, you know, I'm not sure that I understood the degree to which the information on Facebook and Twitter feeds was being manipulated until after the election and after we start getting some congressional hearings and finding out that for, you know, relatively few dollars, somebody with nefarious interests like the Russian efforts could reach millions and millions of people with lots of impressions. Now, I don't know that they had any impact. You know, social media is sort of like bumper stickers in a campaign. Intuitively, you know you have to have them. I don't know that you can measure how much impact they actually had on votes. So everybody has to have bumper stickers, but you can't say that for so many bumper stickers you're going to get a vote. I don't know that you can say the same for social media either. So,
well, I think what we've done in a lot of cases is post stuff from, you know, real media sites. I mean, like Breitbart and Drudge and those kind of things. I mean, are they making sure that those are not getting viewed? Or, I mean, other than the bumper stickers, we've seen all the signs and everything all over social media. But there are actually good stories that get posted, valid stories from valid sources. Is that being, manipulated as well?
So what's happening is if you take and want to put, say, one of your Breitbart stories on your Facebook page, the algorithms will work against that being added into the trend and being added to your friends' feeds so that they see what you think is important. Where if you posted something from arbitrarily MSNBC that was the opposite viewpoint of the Breitbart article, the algorithms might promote that so that all of your friends got to see that you appreciate that article, and it would count towards trending stories for the day. So that's the way that they manipulate it, as opposed to whether or not you can actually post it. It's who sees your post that's being manipulated.
How were you able to tell? I mean, how would you be able to...
Well, that was, one of my questions is, how would you know when they're cutting it off or not putting it out there? I mean, what percentage? Does it go by percentage-wise?
Well, the way you find out is that, you know, you've got a big news story going on, a big national news story. It's not your story or my story, but it's a big national news story, but it doesn't hit the trending news. And then there's something less important out there that's for the other political viewpoint, and that's hitting the trending news tab on Facebook or Twitter. So you see that there's a little imbalance there. Then that means you have to go back and look at what are the algorithms they're using. Of course, these companies won't disclose the algorithm that decides what gets posted and what aggregates towards trending. And that's where we found Nick Dudick's friend at YouTube saying that, yeah, it's done by an algorithm, but as a human, I've got the ability to influence it somewhat, and that's what I do on behalf of Dudick, so that Dudick's stories get seen, the ones he wants seen and the ones he doesn't don't get seen. So it's the human, is there a slant inherent in the algorithm that they're using? And second, is there a human override or addition to that algorithm that changes the value of the story and the impact that it has?
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's complicated, but that's where we're trying to get to the bottom of it, get some evidence and, we've only started in this mainstream media. We'll be having more of these stories over the next few months.
Yeah, it depends on the parameters that are entered into the program. The operation, the algorithm itself has a mathematical formula that, depending on likes, views, shares, things like that, that assigns it a categorical value, and then it assesses how trending the story is and assigns it to go up the scale on the pages. Google uses something very similar, but you can very easily go in and alter what the parameters are, assign it keywords, key stories, things like that, and basically bump them off of the formula so that they're not trending.
So can we do that as an individual on social media?
No,
that's done by the people that run either Google or YouTube or Facebook or Twitter. They write the algorithm that decides it. If the algorithm has in it something to the effect of negative of Trump, it gets a little higher rating in their algorithm than positive on Trump.
So in essence, you have basically a cyber star chamber.
Yeah. And I think that's what we're seeing in these congressional hearings, is the recognition that they're there and that they've been called out on it, and I don't have a lot of faith that Congress is going to be able to come up with an answer to what they're doing, other than perhaps that they're monopolistic companies and forcing something to happen with respect to competition. I don't think that Congress can do anything more than educate us as to what the problem is. And we've seen that over the last week, that they are admitting that for very little effort, Russia had the opportunity to make millions and millions of impressions. Now, whether or not that influenced anybody, who knows, but they were able to get their word out there, and a lot of it was false information that they were getting out. So there is a need for concern. We don't know what the solution is, but we got to find the depths of the problem, and that's what we do at Project Veritas, is expose it and then let the public and public officials figure out what the solution is.
Well, at some point, I think we need to cease with our expectations of the nanny state protecting us from ourselves at all the time, and start taking responsibility for our own actions and our own thoughts, or lack of those actions or thoughts, and own the responsibility, as you said, of letting the market kind of take over itself instead of...
Yeah, I think the greatest fallacy that we have in public life today is fair and balanced reporting. It never was, it never will be.
Right.
All of the newspapers started out as broadsheets for a political effort, whether it was a political party or an issue or Thomas Paine or whoever. All publications started out as a political arm of somebody, as a communication arm of some political operation. So they weren't ever intended to be fair and balanced. That's a modern day belief. And if you're going to be fair and balanced, it would be in the news reporting, not in the editorial viewpoint. But what we've seen is that the news reporting has changed to support the editorial viewpoint of the newspaper or television network. So, and that's where we need to be, is back to less biased news reporting, just give us the facts and let us figure out the impact of it. You can express your editorial opinion all you want, but it shouldn't be in the news.
Yeah, because the opinions are based on a motivational factor of what is that, you know? I mean, in other words, what am I trying to achieve with my opinion? And everybody has one, and everybody is motivated by their opinion while they're reporting, you know, even the hard news to a degree. So it's a tough one, but I think that, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. There is no fair and balance.
No, and it's called the news business because it is a business, and they have to make a profit at the end of the day. And the way they make a profit is serving their constituency what they want to hear. CNN, Zucker told us that the CEO told the company allegedly that they're going to stay on the Russia story because that's where the eyeballs are coming from. That's who's tuning in to watch them is the Russia story. So that's where our profit is. New York Times is the clicks were anti-Trump and anti-Pence, and so they want to keep up the clicks, which is all about advertising dollars. You know, subscriptions went up. They keep boasting since Trump became president because they're bashing him all the time. So it is a business, and they're unfortunately slanting the news to support their business model.
Well, aren't there laws in place that could be used, things about slander and you know, things along that line that could be used to curtail some of this activity?
No, it's exactly the opposite. It's a very robust First Amendment freedom of the press that we have here. And again, I don't think we want to limit somebody's speech. We don't want
freedom of the press does not address the press as journalists as an institution. When they use the word press as applied to journalists didn't exist. It literally meant freedom of the press, the printing press itself, the ability to circulate information, thoughts, and ideas. It wasn't an organized journalism as an institution was protected by the Constitution.
Yeah, but whether you're one person doing a handout or you're the New York Times, you are a journalist. The Supreme Court has decided that the size of your operation isn't what qualifies you under the First Amendment. It's whether or not you're providing information and whether or not it's newsworthy. So the solution isn't to curtail the New York Times because it's slanted. It's to recognize that it's slanted and have more publications that give the readers a choice. Do they want to just have information that reinforces their pre-existing belief? Do they want to have information that contradicts their pre-existing belief? Or do they want to have information that helps them decide on their own and let the consumer make up the decision?
So it's about having a free market then. That's what it comes down to, is an open market of ideas.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very good. Anyway,
are you going to be able to stay with us, or do you have to go, Russ?
I can stay a little bit longer, about 8 to 10 more minutes.
Okay. We're going to go to a quick break, and we will pick you up on the other side. If you want to call in, have a question or comment for our guests, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding egos. I burned up my childhood days. Of a modern day drifter, don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the latest and leave them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys. Still are, it seems. sadly in search of one step in back of themselves and their slow moving dreams.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
As Californians, we are fortunate to live in such a rich agricultural state. California agriculture generates roughly $37.5 billion annually, more than any other state. Orchard Nutrition Center believes that buying local not only supports North State agriculture, but decreases the amount of time between harvest to your family's table, resulting in the freshest, most nutritious meat and produce available. Hat Creek Grown is one of the largest providers of grass-fed beef in California and is a featured vendor of Orchard Nutrition Center. Grass-fed beef has about one-half to one-third the amount of fat than grain-fed beef. It is lower in calories and can also lower LDL cholesterol levels. Hat Creek Grown is family-owned, with its roots dating back to 1903. Delicious, local, natural. Hat Creek Grown at Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust Street in Redding. Now open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week to better serve your family. Orchard Nutrition Center.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Internet, the world, the news, the media.
It's just so crazy.
It's crazy.
So, how much they're suppressing the information to get out, you know, for their agenda.
Well, have you got any more that you can give us while you have a little bit of time here?
Well, we've already done CNN. We did several releases on CNN earlier this year in June. We've done the New York Times. I think you can expect that before the month of November is over, we'll have another one to come out, maybe the first week of December, where we get inside one of the mainstream media companies or social media companies and get, you know, the way our undercover journalists work, they're quite courageous. They have to adopt a name that isn't theirs and a background story that isn't theirs and then go research where they might find people from these companies and how they might get an introduction to the various people, and then they start making friendships with them and get one person talking and leading to another person and work their way up the ladder trying to get people to talk to them. So it's a long process. Yeah. It's not you go in today, get a story, and you publish it tomorrow. It takes months to put together one of these stories. And as you saw with the New York Times story, the first release we put out was this Nick Dudick story, somebody who claimed he was the godson of James Comey. Now, that would have been a real scandal if it was true, but it wasn't. You know, they had this braggart in there who's in charge of posting to all the social media whatever videos the New York Times wants circulated. And he was clearly editing what was going out based on his viewpoint and promoting the anti-Trump videos and burying the pro-Trump videos. And, you know, we went through him, and then we kept on going. But his was the first release we put out, so the New York Times came out and said, oh, yeah, well, that's just some young, you know, 30-year-old isn't all that young. That's just some young editor,
low level
junior editor with the company. Yeah, junior editor was the way they called him. Little did they know we had already recorded somebody whose title was senior editor. we then came out after they dismissed the first video being just from a junior editor. We came out with a video which you folks can see on projectveritas.com. And the second video was a senior editor for the New York Times, somebody who decides what goes on their website homepage. And then the third one was somebody who'd been working for 20 years in the newsroom at the New York Times and said everybody hates Trump. Couldn't find anybody there that wasn't a Trump hater. So we put the story out, we get the reaction from the principals, in this case the New York Times, and then we contradict their defense, their excuse, with another one of their employees saying exactly the opposite from what the management was using as a defense. We did it with CNN, we did it here, we've done it in the past. And I think you can look forward to more mainstream media and social media companies being exposed in the similar vein over the next few months. And this will continue after the first of the year also. It's a target-rich environment. We just need more time to keep going and harvesting the stories out of these companies.
Well, you guys have done a stellar job. I've been following you ever since the beginning on Project Veritas, and you know, some of the stuff that you guys have come up with, amazing. And you're getting more and more mainstream play out there, it seems like, as well, because you know, people are starting to sit up and take notice that what you guys are putting out there is you know, incredibly great journalism, and nobody else seems to be able to touch you.
One of the things that, you know, sort of contradictory to what I've been saying today is that the reason that we're in the mainstream media is because of social media. You know, in public life, if somebody fights with you, you exist. You know, that if a politician fights with somebody, they make that somebody a valuable entity. If they ignore you, you don't exist. So for years, the mainstream media ignored what James O'Keefe and Project Veritas were putting out as though they don't exist. But we were putting out great stuff that had big impact, like the Acorn study, where Congress ultimately defunded $1 billion social operation around the country that was willing to give James and his associate information on how to run an underage brothel and get the government to help you pay your rent. And they even gave him tips on how to avoid paying taxes. So, you know, he's done great stories over the years, and they're all on our website. We actually have two websites, Project Veritas and Project Veritas Action. Project Veritas Action has more political type of stories where we investigate campaigns. We don't take a position for or against anybody. But on that website last year, about a year ago this time, we released some stories that exposed the ringmaster of the Democratic Party's dark operations, Robert Creamer of Democracy Partners. And as a result of that series, Robert Creamer resigned as a consultant to the Democratic National Committee and as a consultant to the Hillary Clinton campaign. And one of his other associates was fired from his job because of what he released to us. And that story took off on social media. And through the widespread support of people passing our story along, it eventually broke through on social media and had to be addressed by mainstream media and wound up with coverage on all the networks. Now, we have released hundreds of videos over the years. Since 2009, James has been doing this. Not one of our videos has ever been retracted. We have not issued a correction to any of our videos. So as people respond initially, oh, they took me out of context, or that's they did editing to that, they put words in my mouth. It's never happened. That's an easy defense somebody throws up that you can't immediately prove. But over time, our videos have held up, and their accusations have fallen flat in their face every single time. Because you know, we do this on video. What don't they get about that? It's all on video. So somebody says, well, you took me out of context. Well, we play the whole thing, and, gee, it's all in context. The accusations that come out about the way we edit and deliver these videos have never held up. None of that criticism has ever held water, and they've all been they've all gone without any serious challenge. Any challenges that have been there are simply because people regret what they said or they're embarrassed by what they said, not because we did something wrong with respect to covering them.
Wow, I think what they do now, Russ, is they just attack you and say you're a hack, or they say you're a racist, or you're some kind of a phobia, but they're not attacking the actual information that you're putting out there.
You're right. They attack the messenger and not the message. They can't fight with the message, especially with us, because it's in video. I mean, it's not that we're reading off of notes we took at some long ago meeting. It's a video. You're seeing the person say these things in their own words. It's like one teacher was telling one of our undercover agents that, you know, if a kid gives him trouble in class, he holds him after the class, locks the door, pulls the curtain, and says, okay, I'll give you the first punch, but then I'm going to kick your butt. And he uses profane language in there. So we report that, and he says, well, you took me all out of context. Well, what context is that working? I don't understand.
You know,
tell me the context.
Video is great. I'll tell you what, and I'll tell you why. Because, you know, you've got politicians that have been talking out of their both sides of their mouth for so long that they forget what they said 5 years ago when it's all on YouTube. So,
and they don't care. They just keep rattling on about stuff.
It never used to be held accountable. They never used to be held accountable. They could lie 1 minute and completely change their story the next, and there was nobody there pointing it out to anybody before social media came into play.
Yeah, well, everything you say and do now is well recorded, documented, and indexed so it can be found.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're right.
And we can remind the people
found,
what they've said.
That's fun stuff anymore. I'll tell you what, it makes it a lot more interesting. It used to be that anything that came off of mainstream media, wow, that must be true because they said it.
I'm probably a little older than most of your audience, and I remember when there were three main networks. and that have a 30-minute news program every afternoon, and all three of them had exactly the same stories. You'd think that with this big, wide world, each of them would have found something different to report on in 30 minutes, but they all had exactly the same story.
So, I'll tell you what, that's how I got this whole thing years and years ago, was when we got DVR and TiVo. I started DVR in every news program across the board. I'd have five or six of them on the 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock news, and then I'd go back and watch every single one of them, and I realized they all had the same exact talking points, and it was like, unbelievable. I mean, it was like an epiphany, because you're like, wow, they can't all have the same talking points, but they do.
Yeah. You can't remember what station you're on because they're all the same, you know?
It's crazy.
It doesn't make a difference.
Exactly.
So, anyway.
So now we have a plethora of sources of information, but we have to make sure that we're not being fed a narrative by those sources, that we're being fed the facts, and let us make up our own minds.
You got to vet everything these days, everything, you know, and kind of make up your own minds by looking at, you know, the story and where the sources are coming from and what was said and the credibility and otherwise, I mean, the real deal is out there. It's hard to find the truth anymore because it's a sea of lies. I mean, it's to the point of ridiculousness now.
Yeah, everybody's got a story they want you to believe, and the old dragnet, you know, just the facts. That's all I want is just the facts.
Well,
it's true.
And it's so hard to get these days.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Wait, hey, I gotta ask you, Russ, where are you from, Massachusetts or Maine? I can't quite put my finger on it.
Originally from Boston, and I'm living in Indiana now, but originally from Boston, and I've never lost my accent.
Yeah, you sure didn't. You can tell.
Well, I was in Texas for a few years, and I'd go around giving speeches. They'd introduce me from Dallas, Texas, and two or three sentences into my speech, everybody's eyes were glossing over. What part of Texas is that accent?
Yeah, they don't have any yeehaws in Boston that I'm aware of anyway.
No. I had to throw in a few fixins and, you know, things like that to make people think I might have been from Texas, but nobody was ever fooled.
Yeah, born in Texas and raised by Red Sox Stadium.
There you go.
What's that?
Very good.
Fenway. That's what I was trying to think of. Fenway. I almost said Wrigley, but I know that's in Chicago.
Yeah, Red Sox Nation, Fenway Park.
There you have it. Very good. Well, you know, we've been, it's been great having you on the show, Russ. We really totally appreciate you coming on here.
We'd love to have you back in the future. I know you guys are super busy over there getting these stories done and getting them out to the people. And we pass the stories along and try to, you know, when you guys come out with anything new, to let people know out there that what you guys are doing. And we surely do appreciate all the hard work you guys are putting in.
Well, we appreciate the fact that you pass it on, and that's what's helped to break through and force the mainstream media to have to address these. When everybody's talking about these investigations, the mainstream media sooner or later has to acknowledge them. And so we greatly appreciate you passing it on. We appreciate your listeners out there going to our website and signing up for our alerts so that they get notified when a new investigation is coming out at projectveritas.com and projectveritasaction.com. And, you know, we simply need to get to the truth. And, you know, we're not going to ask people to take a position for or against a remedy. We just want to give you the facts and let you make up your mind of what should be done to correct the problem.
Well, we got about 2 minutes, Russ, and we have to go to a hard break at the top of the hour, and we'll let you go. But like I say, if there's anything else you got, you know, maybe say the websites again for us and contact numbers and how do they can donate, I'm assuming. You guys are a 501c4 or 3, I would assume?
Yeah, the Project Veritas is www.projectveritas.com. That's a 501c3. Educational organization, and any contribution there is tax deductible to the extent permitted by law. The Project Veritas Action, www.projectveritasaction.com, is a 501c4, which can do a little more
political
in the way of political reporting. Not that we take a position for or against any candidate, but if we start mentioning a candidate's name for federal office in our videos, then we felt we needed the C4. And donations to Project Veritas Action are not tax deductible, but they help support our reporting into political activities. We do voter registration drives and see who's cutting corners on that, and we had one white guy go in and take ask for the ballot of Attorney General Holder one time. So
we're out of time, Russ.
They're going to cut us off because
right,
we're at the top of
much.
The hour.
Hey,
thank you. We greatly appreciate it. And with that, you're
my
listening
pleasure.
To Sovereign Minds. Stay tuned for the second half. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North.
From townhall.com, I'm Michael Harrington. Was the Democratic presidential primary rigged? Supporters of Bernie Sanders think so, and former DNC Chairman Donna Brazile says Hillary Clinton had too much power over primary rules. However,
when I hear the word rigged, let's be very clear. Hillary Clinton won the Democratic primary by 4 million votes. The Democratic National Committee does not run elections for primaries. The Republican National Committee does not run elections. States run elections.
That's the man who currently heads the DNC, Tom Perez, a guest on NBC TV's Meet the Press. He also has a problem with the part of Brazil's new book where she says the party considered booting Hillary in favor of Joe Biden. President Trump is stressing his close ties with Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. The two leaders dined with their wives in Tokyo today as part of Mr. Trump's first stop on a 12-day trip through Asia. The president says they're discussing a number of subjects, including North Korea and trade. More of that to come tomorrow. Saudi Arabia has arrested dozens of princes, senior military officers, businessmen, and top officials, including a well-known royal billionaire with extensive holdings in the West. It's all part of a sweeping, purported anti-corruption probe. Just in time for Christmas shopping, Best Buy offering free shipping and expanding its same-day delivery service.
The nation's largest consumer electronics chain, which is based in Richfield, Minnesota, says it's waiving the $35 minimum needed for free shipping for the third holiday season in a row. The offer runs from now until December 25th. It also says it's expanding its same-day delivery service to more than 40 markets, up from 25 this past fall.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Does anybody really know what time it is? The country returned to standard time early this morning. You should have turned your clocks back one full hour. Daylight savings time? Got to wait till March. More on these stories at townhall.com.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Hello, beautiful. I'm Madison Reed, and my mom named her Revolutionary Hair Color Company after me. My mom taught me that women can do anything they set their mind to.
Hi, I'm Madison's mom, Amy Eric. I founded Madison Reed with the idea to create luxurious, ammonia-free, salon-quality, at-home hair color that saves women time and money. In under an hour and for less than $25, Madison Reed delivers gorgeous, multidimensional, shiny hair. I'm proud to say Madison Reed is a female-led company. From our chief marketing officer to our master colorist, we are all women and top experts in our field. Founded in love, we are a hair color company led by women, made for women. Find your perfect shade at madison-reed.com and get 10% off plus free shipping on your first color kit. Use code GRATEFUL. That's code GRATEFUL.
Try it. Love it. That's the beauty of Madison Reed.
Bingo.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul roughed up at his home.
Rand Paul was allegedly blindsided at his home by a 59-year-old neighbor after the two had an argument. Police arrested the man and charged him with one count of fourth-degree assault. The Kentucky senator suffered a minor injury, and a spokesperson said he's doing fine. Val Dior reporting.
More than 2,500 anti-coal demonstrators protested in the western German town of Kirpen this morning and at a nearby surface mining site before an upcoming global climate conference in Bonn. The DPA news agency says a large group of the initial protesters split off to march on the mining site. Riot police scuffled with some of them, but there were no major incidents reported. German leader Angela Merkel has been dubbed the climate chancellor for her ambitious targets to achieve renewable energy. However, Germany still gets 40% of its electricity from coal. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The San Francisco Police Commission has voted to arm officers with stun guns in the wake of a deadly shooting.
The 4-3 vote was met with shouts of shame from activists who contend the supposedly less lethal weapons can kill and could escalate rather than de-escalate confrontations. San Francisco's considered and rejected the use of stun guns for more than a dozen years, in part because of community opposition. However, the idea gained traction after a knife-wielding man was shot and killed 2 years ago after police failed to stop him with non-lethal weapons. San Francisco and Boston are the only major U.S. cities that don't equip officers with stun guns. The new requirement goes into effect December 2018. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Today is Sunday, November the 5th. It's a birthday for some notable people, including singer Art Garfunkel. He's 76 years old today. Actress Tatum O'Neill is 54. And singer Bryan Adams is 58 today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Everyone's invited to an evening of fun and all-you-can-eat ribs with all the fixings, plus gun and bucket raffles, live silent, and fabulous dessert auctions. This benefit fundraiser is in support of Friends of the Shasta District Fair and the future of our wonderful fair and event center. Please join us Saturday, November 11th for all-you-can-eat ribs and an evening of fun with friends at the Fairgrounds in Anderson. Dinner tickets and sponsorship tables available at Shasta District Fair and Event Center office or call 378-6789.
Linda and I live a pretty hectic life, and when we get away, we want to have a place that provides solitude and quiet. Well, we found that place, Cottage by the Sea, over in Smith River. Imagine a weekend away from all the concerns of your everyday life. Sunrise, sunsets, walk on a beach that is never crowded, privacy, quiet, and solitude. Cottage has full kitchen, hot tub, ocean views, and it's only a short drive to Brookings, Oregon if you want to go over there to the shops. Call Lori at 541-469-3414. That's Cottage by the Sea.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Crying,
does not me. I don't love you, I do. That's forever.
That's good stuff there, man. A little Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. Yeah.
They do all, do that almost as well as Jay Sekulow.
You know, I kind of like the other one better with Jay Sekulow, I got to say.
Hey, they're pretty good.
Not bad. We got some more stuff coming on out of that. I got an email this morning, and we'll be talking about that a little more. And I have to speak with them on Wednesday about the Tea Party win over the IRS. I've been kind of keeping it under wraps, but more and more of that will be coming out. And anyway, I'll leave it at that.
It actually hit mainstream news this morning that they're calling to reopen the investigation to go
on Lois Lerner. There you go. Lois the Lerner. She's like Lefty Lerner. Lois Lefty Lerner.
Yeah, and we now have an admission of guilt.
Isn't that interesting?
Hmm.
Before we go on, we have to thank one of our sponsors, Glow 10 Company at 2447 Athens Avenue. Jazzy and Ashley down there with the Glow Tan Company. They use all-natural, organic, sunless airbrush tanning and retail collection. And you have to do this by appointment only with Jazzy and Ashley. To book your appointment, call them at 488-8144. Again, the number is 488-8144. And we want to thank them for help sponsoring the program.
Absolutely.
So go down and see them. Give them a call.
You like what we had to say? Help keep us on the air. And we'll help you out.
And now with our first story.
Yeah, there's a few.
We need to have. I need to have James Earl Jones' voice here. Apology not accepted.
Okay.
This is from the Political Insider. Vern Buchanan calls for prosecution of Lois Lerner. This was on November 2nd. Seems like they finally admitted it, and now that's an in-court admission that could be used in a criminal prosecution.
Well,
maybe there's still hope in Mudville.
Well, I'm kind of curious, too, is you're allowed to take the Fifth Amendment to not incriminate yourself.
That's right.
But if you've already incriminated yourself, can you continue to take the Fifth Amendment?
Sure, you can not testify against yourself, absolutely, at any stage of the proceeding. That doesn't mean
you can still go to jail.
That doesn't mean you can't go to jail. That's exactly
I'm
right.
I'm sorry, you can still go to jail and do not pass go.
That's like, there's pictures, there's videos, there's cameras, yeah. There's an in-court admission from everybody around you, and you go, I didn't do it, I swear to God.
Yeah, well, according to your agency, you did.
It's like, yeah, see? It wasn't me, see?
Yeah. I believe the word of the day will be state's evidence.
All right. With that, we do have a caller on the line. Gary called back. Good morning, Gary.
Come on out, Rocky.
What do you got for us this morning?
We've got the place surrounded. Go ahead, Gary. Sorry.
Good morning. Congratulations on at least the first baby step. Baby, there will be some justice.
I hope so.
We hope so.
Okay. On the local side, and I think it's apropos, since our city councilman McElvain has been on a couple of times, I think it's a foregone conclusion that the city of Reading wants to go into the pot business and collect all those millions of dollars of taxes on pot. Do you think that's the way things are going?
Well, I think you're probably right. I think what we should do, though, is I don't care, except the fact is that just make sure that anybody who has pot in their system of any sort can't get any government benefits, can't work for any government place.
Whether it's pot, drugs, whatever, they
doesn't
can't
matter
get
what
assistance.
It is. You can't get assistance from welfare, from Obamacare, from you can't get a check from any employer if you happen to be working for the government. That's the answer, in my opinion, and this whole thing stops right there, but that won't happen.
Okay, well, since the taxes are limitless, I would like to suggest that the city council use some of those tax dollars to fund the new jail.
Where are they supposed to go? To fund the pension?
Well, who knows, but I think that would be a good place, and because a number of, I think, pot users will probably be in jail, so they would have a vested interest. And I would locate it out on where the industrial park is, because it's a big campus, and they could put a high-rise building, say about 5 or 6 stories high, for the jail, and make a big campus and put everything else out there. That is the methadone clinic.
Are we going to vote on this?
For the homeless, and you know, the Good News Rescue Mission, and everything out in one place, which would be very convenient. And it's also in the flight path of the airport, so businesses that are thinking about relocating to Reading, they look down and be impressed with the campus, and it shows how forward-thinking.
I got a better idea, Gary.
To put all of this together.
I got a better idea, Gary. Why don't we put them all out there in Stillwell Business Park?
That's what I said. Yep.
Oh, oh.
Yeah, that's the business part.
Oh,
yeah.
The one out there by the airport?
Yeah.
We can keep them out there anyway.
Flight path of the airport.
Well, we can turn a $76 million boondoggle and double that figure because...
yes, well, they want it to be, you know, the jail to be the focal point like it is now. So I think it would be a good focal point, and we want to be, the city council wants it to be the focal point of methadone distribution, marijuana, and so on and so forth. So I think it would be...
I have one question. Are we going to vote on this?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I mean, if the people want it, I mean, I guess so. I just want the federal government out of it. But I'm just wondering if there's an election in Reading, or is this anything going to go on the ballot that says that we get to be the drug hub of Northern California?
Well,
we already are.
It'll be on the ballot because just like
the legal drug hub.
We voted on the gasoline tax and other things that we voted on. So I think so. Sure, they'll probably put it on the ballot.
I detect sarcasm.
All right.
There...
Yes. All right. Thank you very much, everybody.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Gary. We appreciate the call.
We do have another caller. Mr. Wilkinson, are you there?
Hello.
Good morning.
Morning, Dick.
Hey, morning. You know, on Friday at noon, I went to the Red Lion Hotel there. There was a Salvation Army Red Kettle kickoff, and Francie Sullivan walked in there, and she's the only city council person that we actually know. And but anyway, I said, why don't you get up in front of the city council and pass a resolution that we're not going to be a sanctuary city? She says, we're not a sanctuary city. I said, we're in a sanctuary state. She says, well, the city's not a sanctuary city. I said, well, how did that happen? And anyway, we got interrupted. I never got to talk to her. Now, do you know why we're not a sanctuary city?
I just want, you know what the opposite of Lesson is, Dick?
The what?
The opposite of Lesson.
I didn't understand you.
I said, do you know what the opposite of Lesson is, Dick?
No.
Moron.
Oh.
That's what I think you're dealing with, because, I mean, what other explanation is there for it?
Well, it's very, very simple. We are a sanctuary city.
Until you opt out.
Until you become a charter city and opt out
right.
of being directly responsible and controlled by state laws. If the state's a sanctuary state, you're a sanctuary city unless you opt out.
Right. And I wanted to pass a resolution that we're not. And she said, we're not a sanctuary city. I said, we're in a sanctuary state. We all are. No, we're not. The city's not. We're not a sanctuary city. And I said, well, how did that happen?
And I got interrupted.
I never got to talk to her.
And our pension system isn't in trouble either, according to her actuaries.
And, you know, one more thing. It seems like the city council is going to perpetuate the sales of a mind-altering drug in order to help all the people who live in the city. Isn't that great?
Hey, man, what?
Smoke weed every day.
What's the name of it?
What, mind-altering drugs? You know, marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to perpetuate the sale of it in order to help all of us who live in the city.
Well, I don't know. We better get the state of Jefferson here pretty soon because I'm moving out. I'm moving out of the state if this keeps going.
Yeah, we need to get our Jefferson going quick.
I agree. I agree. We need
to vote. Can do it
quickly.
We need to vote all these idiots out. I mean, who keeps voting these idiots in? Is it that fixed or are we that stupid?
I think a little of both.
A little bit of
for
both.
Some.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my 2 cents for
well,
Sunday.
Well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dick.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I have one question. What happened to the big Antifa rally? Where they were going to...
The anti-flop rally?
The anti-flop. Yeah, what happened?
Yeah, I assume it flopped because the mainstream media ignored it yesterday.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I thought it was going to be like a civil war or the revolution. They were going
to
be taking
We're not supposed to remember that.
I'll tell you what happened to the Antifa rallies. It's harvest season, marijuana town, buddy.
Oh, the
they're all busy trimming.
They're all trimmigrants.
They're out in the garage.
They used to be illegal immigrants. Now they're all legal trimmigrants.
Yeah.
Brilliant!
And with that, we do have another caller, I believe. We've got Nick. Good morning, Nick.
Nick, you're
Nick?
On the air.
Nope, wrong line.
Are you there, Nick?
I'm here.
Nick.
What you got for us this morning?
Well, in answer to Gary and Mark's question, no, we're not going to be able to vote on that marijuana. That's already been voted on by the citizens of California.
Yep.
The reason they're making rules now is because if they don't make them by sometime in December, I think it is, if the city and the county don't make the rules, California will move it in. They can do whatever they want, and it's too late for the local government to regulate it.
That's right.
Being said, I've been preaching lately on a talk show shows that we need to contact our legislatures, meaning city council and county supervisors, and remind them that we elected them to represent us, and we need to let them know how we want to be represented. They don't seem to
care
very often.
They don't listen. They don't seem to care.
Well, you know, I've gone to quite a few of these meetings, and what I see is the same 60 or 80 liberals that are pretty much running the agenda. And it seems to me, from what I've seen, conservatives have a lack of backbone to stand up for themselves. And they just let liberals run right over the top of them and keep quiet. And we need to change that. We need to stand for ourselves, stand up for ourselves, and say, no, that's not the way we like it. I brought up to Adam McAlay that maybe it would be a wise idea to put a little question on the city electric bills asking the constituents how they'd feel about this or that. Say they just sent it out, do you want marijuana stores in the city of Reading, and see what answers they got back to direct the way they represent their constituents, because we didn't elect them to tell us what's good for us.
They cannot prevent the addition of marijuana dispensaries to the city of Reading. They cannot deny them permits. They cannot stop the encroachment of it. And as you said, is either the city does it on their terms or the state will do it for them.
That's right.
Moot point at this juncture.
That's right. If the city wants anything to say about it, they've got to do it now or they won't have anything to say about it later.
Well, then they need to say something, I guess. I don't really want to become
the
drug heads.
The fact of the matter is better, worse, indifferent, whatever. The people of the state of California voted to legalize marijuana, and like it or not, we have to deal with the repercussions and consequences of that.
That's right.
That's it.
But, you know, we need for our employees and our elected representatives to represent us. And two things come to mind when they didn't. One was when they voted on that, or they sent the questionnaires out, I think, in the electric bill. If you send this back, it counts as a no vote. If you don't send it back, it counts as a yes vote.
Yeah.
You remember that? I forget what the issue was.
For me, personally, this entire argument over the marijuana thing and the city council, and I am no defender of our city council, is we're kicking them in the teeth over something that is completely out of their control.
That's right. That's right. I just want them to represent the people that voted for them. Another example of how they didn't represent the voters was the 14 acres they sold down at Turtle Bay.
Yeah.
They worded it on the election, do you want to sell this property for $150,000 more than it was appraised at? When in reality, there was a couple appraisals that were worth more.
Millions
and,
more.
And a couple that were less. And they could have added to it, even though Shuffleberger had offered $1 million for the property. Do you want to sell it for $600,000? When we have people like that deceiving us, they're lying to us and manipulating us, and that's why we need to hold their foot to the fire and tell them, we put you up there to represent us.
We need to remove them.
Yeah,
because they're not listening at all. So they need to be removed or recalled or whatever.
Is the recall going to go through and work out? I mean, how's that going?
Yeah.
Well, you've got to educate the electorate. And do you know this recall is doing that?
Good.
This is bringing to people's attention the poor representation that we've had. And we might get some decent candidates elected this time. We can only hope.
I sure hope so.
We hope so.
If there's anything left to work with. I mean, what are you going to do when you're so far in debt for pensions and health care?
Well, you know, there's an old saying in finances, when you can't pay the debt, you won't. And that's where we're headed. And you're going to see bankruptcy, and you're going to see renegotiations, and you're going to see the money get withdrawn from all of these pet public projects. And I mean, I've got a story right here today that, you know, California teachers' pension executives get bonuses. The two top executives at the California teachers' pension system are getting $200,000 each for the following strong investment earnings.
Well, didn't Jerry Brown just give himself a raise, too?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. These guys are out of touch with reality, and I personally don't think that anything is going to work until there's a complete reset of the money.
Well, you know what? If you want to fix education, just give them more money. That's all they need.
Yep.
Well, and the fact of the matter is what keeps California afloat now is intravenous injections of federal funds.
Right.
And they're about to get cut off. The welfare funds that make up 33% are going away. The SALT tax reductions that make up $255 billion a year of our budget are going away.
Let's get back to a real free market.
Yeah.
I was being sarcastic. I know, Nick.
Me too.
You know, those people are getting those kind of bonuses in a system that has gone from the top 10 in the last 40 years to the bottom, the very poorest educational system in the United States. And they're given bonuses and pensions and medical benefits.
Kind of sounds like a bailout of the bankers on the original crisis a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, you know, our government employees have become the new royalty class of America.
Yep.
And by God, we're going to support them whether we like it or not.
Well, I just posted this on Sovereign Minds on Facebook from the California Policy Center. Without government unions, there would be no gas tax increase.
Boy, yeah, well, you know. We take good care of our calls, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
I'm going to let you go. Thank you.
All right,
thanks for calling in.
We appreciate it.
So it's true that this government thing is so out of control across the board that it has to implode, in my opinion, before it gets better. Because people will not stand up until it affects them directly. When they lose their pensions, when they lose their welfare, all of a sudden, it's not going to be a happy place to be down there at City Hall or the Board of Supervisors.
Well, we need to stop attacking the symptoms, and we need to go for the actual infection. We're treating the symptoms. You know, we attack the heads of the beast instead of going after the heart of the beast. And all of the different symptoms that we are facing, whether it's the marijuana issue or the tax issue, or they all stem from the same creature. Kill the creature.
Yeah, that would be.
Stop cutting off the heads because just two more grow back.
Which creature are we talking about? The creature from Jekyll Island?
You could make that argument, too. Yeah, I mean,
I hope they're all dead.
I didn't say that.
None of us said that. That was a gremlin.
That was
studio.
Coach Knight. Easy,
yeah.
Coach.
Yeah. That's what it's going to take. Instead of attacking these separate issues, distracting, deflecting, and dividing on these individual things, go for the heart of the beast and rip it out and eat it in front of their face.
Okay. I just want to know how we do that.
I'm dealing with that.
I want to know how we do that. That's my only thing.
Yeah.
Let it implode and wait?
Maybe.
I don't know. Anyway, let's go back to the top stories that we know we need to cover today. This being probably there's a couple of them that are kind of earth-shaking here a little bit. Donna Brazile says this comes from Zero Hedge and posted yesterday. Donna Brazile says she feared for her life after Seth Rich was killed.
Weird.
Now think about that for
Weird.
A second. Just what? Okay, so this came out of her book, you know, from excerpts from her Donna Brazile books, the DNC chairwoman, unsurprisingly buried in a Washington Post overview of various allegations and so forth. And actually, you know, it's surprising that they actually even published it.
But in the aftermath of WikiLeaks' decision to publish a cache of emails stolen from the DNC servers, Donna Brazile says she became increasingly paranoid about both the possible Russian efforts to sway the election. But surprisingly, she says top Democrats initially instructed her not to discuss her concerns with others. Her fears only intensified, she says, after the mysterious shooting of former campaign staffer Seth Rich, who the authorities said was killed during a robbery, though many so-called conspiracy theorists, but there's no such thing as conspiracies, have speculated about the possibility of Democratic plot to kill Rich for his role in leaking the stash of DNC emails to WikiLeaks, which would virtually destroy the Russian narrative, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the dossier that they actually paid for from Hillary Clinton's funds.
The fact that the ship is taking on water and cannot be saved is becoming extremely visible. You're seeing people like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders that are now trying to get off of the sinking ship and turn on the Clinton machine and turn on what went on with the DNC because they can't hide it anymore.
And, I mean, if you're Donna Brazile and you're getting increasingly paranoid because people are dying, do you look around you and go, wow, why should I be afraid of any of these people around me?
Maybe just a little.
Did anybody try to intimidate her into not coming forth with this? Or is she coming forth with it at this point because she knows the cat's out of the bag?
And she doesn't want to get...
she doesn't want to go down with the ship.
Exactly, yep. Yeah.
The rats are jumping.
The rats are starting to jump ship.
It's
so
amazing how that happens with those guys.
You're going to have the repercussions of the IRS thing, Uranium One, now the DNC.
No, there's no conspiracies. You're racist.
Okay, when you have a guy like Steve Bannon from Breitbart release a statement that says that there's about to be a corruption scandal uncovered in this country that's going to shake it to its foundations.
That would be journalism.
Yeah, it's all coming out.
Wow.
All the stuff that we have been talking about for years now,
and when you
is
have
coming out,
when you have Hillary Clinton come out and say, "Don't be afraid."
Yeah. Meanwhile, her and Bill are looking for a non-extradition treaty country.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Imagine that.
Brazile writes that she was haunted by the still unsolved murder of DNC staffer Seth Rich and feared for her own life. Let's see. Why would you fear for your own life?
From your own people.
They're all
on the same team, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all good people up there. No problem, remember?
Shutting the blinds to her office windows so snipers could not see her and installing surveillance cameras at her home. She wonders whether Russians had placed a listening device in the plants at the DNC executive suite. So let me see. The Russians were on Trump's side to squash the Clinton campaign. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? After they paid for the dossier to get the information from the Russians to use against Trump.
Yeah.
My head's going to explode.
Exactly. It's all coming out.
It's like, you got to be a innocent child with zero brain capacity to not see where all this gets pointed to.
I'm sure even they could figure it out.
It's like, she did it, Mommy!
Yeah.
Wow. Is that not... I mean, good grief. How much evidence do we need to see before Hillary gets locked up? I mean, how much evidence do we need to see before Jeff Sessions starts putting handcuffs on people? What do they got to have an open confession on a form in stocks in front of the Liberty Tree in order for them to qualify for prosecution?
Who can we do that?
I think so.
Let's just re-erect the Liberty Tree and the stocks.
Either that, or we can burn her at the stake because I think she's a witch. And after all, it is Halloween.
Yeah.
Oh boy!
Yeah. I
don't know. I mean, it's like unbelievable. So I don't know what we do from here. Let's just wait and see everything that comes out. But
there is going to come a tipping point, and I think we may already be over it, where the American people are out of patience.
I hope so.
I think the election of Donald Trump was the first real big quake.
Well, I got a bet going. Are we going to be out of patience or out of money? Which one comes first, patience or money?
Mm.
Or maybe it's a simultaneous, you know.
Does it matter which one comes first?
Juncture. Because when you lose everything, you lose it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and when there's nothing to lose, people become dangerous.
When you got nothing to lose, you lose it.
Yeah.
I don't know. And, of course, the prostitutes and the politicians are all aware of everything that's happening right now. And
they are literally the band on the Titanic, fiddling as she goes down.
I thought we were a sanctuary. We're not a sanctuary city, are we?
Yes. Yes, we are.
A lot of people don't know that.
That's how that works.
I guess she didn't get the memo.
I'm speechless.
Yeah, that's like saying that murder's illegal in the state of California, but the city of Redding didn't vote to accept that, so murder's legal in Redding, right?
Well, if you
does that make the death penalty legal in Redding?
Yeah, we didn't vote on that.
No.
If you work for the DNC, it's not illegal.
Yeah, the law only applies if we accept it in the city of Redding.
I saw this clip.
That's not how it works, three strikes.
I saw this clip of Juan Williams on Fox News. This guy is the epitome of moron. Okay, he's trying to convince everybody that because that Donna Brazile passed the answers to Hillary Clinton on the debates, that's not cheating. You know that Brazile woman, she's a cheater, but Hillary Clinton accepting them, that's not cheating.
Okay. Yeah,
that's opposition research.
I didn't have a choice. I had to take the questions.
So the fact that Bernie didn't get the questions prior to the debate, and she did.
Does that mean if somebody goes and steals a bunch of electronic gear and gives it to me, that I'm no longer, part of that crime?
That's not receiving stolen property. Hey, he owed me. It was a gift. Yeah, that's it. I didn't know. Yeah. He's not a friend of mine. I thought he was. I thought he was just a nice guy. Yeah, that's it.
Can't say that word.
It was civil lesson.
Yeah, be careful. Bob's on the phone.
Yeah, that's it.
It was civil lesson.
Yeah, I made a citizen's arrest. That's it. Yeah, that's the ticket.
Crap. Oh. It's just so nonsensical.
I just been deputized. I was deputized.
It gets dumber the further it goes. It's insane. It really is.
Mm. It's been that way for a while.
I really don't think anybody's buying it anymore. I really don't. There's people that I thought would have their head in the sand until the end of time that are starting to look around and go, something's wrong.
Huh.
What's that smell?
What's burning?
Yeah.
Smells like somebody died.
Yeah, it smells like murder, corruption, and underage. Never mind. Can't say that either. I don't think.
Yeah.
On all levels.
Yeah.
On all levels there.
Well, that's another thing. The tentacles of the pedophilia, the world pedophilia ring, are being found. And they reach a lot of places.
Well, I mean, you know, Harvey Weinstein, I did a little research on him this last. What a creepy. I mean, I had to go take a shower after reading about him.
The only one. That's even creepier.
So you want to be in the pictures, huh, little girl?
So here's my casting couch.
Yeah.
Don't mind. Never mind.
Yeah.
Probably leave that alone.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Because you meet him at the door. He's in his bathrobe.
No.
Yeah, we have calls backing up here.
All right. Who do we got,
We
Bob?
Have Lori to start with.
All right. Good morning, Lori. What you got for us this morning?
Hey. Good morning. Great interview in the first hour. That was really helpful to get that down. I was going to maybe change the subject super fast and quick. I'm not sure if people were aware that out of Sacramento, there's a corporation called Intel. It's in Folsom. And I guess they've been doing practices or drills with 500 drones that are going to be part of, quote-unquote, entertainment, possibly for the Super Bowl. And I'm just trying to have people wrap that around their head of 500 drones that they're kind of putting into some choreographed music, and then it lights up at night. This is kind of that issue that a lot of people are having with what's going on in the sky with various technology, whether it's direct energy Tesla, Pulsewave, all these different things. So I just want people to, you know, go look that up if they want. And then DARPA, second topic here, unveiled a drone called Lightning Strike. Well, isn't this what some of the people that are surviving these fires are saying? They saw blue beams and all these other things. So just letting people know these drones are getting quite large, 60 foot long. It's a hybrid. It's like a helicopter and a craft, so it can have all kinds of purposes. And again, but what can they possibly drop on this when our sky is going to be so full of these devices and pieces of equipment? So
I think it's going to be great, just like in Texas where they have open season from helicopters on feral hogs.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll sell
tags. Stand in the door.
That's right. We're going to sell tags, and that'll pay for the deficit on the pensions, because we'll have guys coming in from every state in the union to shoot these damn things down.
Oh, it's just going to be a complete chaos, because look how they're trying to launch it with Amazon, or they'll drop off in delivery. They start out with something helpful, kind, supportive, efficient, all these glowing terms that people kind of get groomed. Woo, wonderful, yay, clap, clap, clap. No, there's another agenda coming very soon, you know, to a neighborhood near you. And they can, of course, drop bioweapons and germ and other odd things. So then guess what? We're going to have to, what, line up for vaccines? I don't think so.
No.
Wow.
No,
I'm just tripping.
Nope, not going to happen.
And the Amazon thing's never going to work. You know how long it's going to take for somebody to figure out, start shooting down drones, you get free stuff? I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to fly a bunch of Amazon Christmas gifts into East Oakland? It's going to be anti-aircraft fire like Baghdad.
You're going to have booths. You're going to have booths out there. Guys in top hats, step right up. One tin dime. One-tenth of a dollar. Step right up. Down the drone.
God. Well, the children are going to have it all figured out real soon how to reprogram to deliver it right to them.
Oh, yeah, you know. Just know it can be hacked. So
yeah.
It's just, I think we're all kind of, we're all going to be bending over with technology being hacked all the time. Look at Equifax. It's just never ending right now. So, yeah, prepare everyone.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, and last quote was, comment was, what if Bo Bergdahl would have been African-American soldier? I wonder how this would be playing out and his benefits and bonus and whatever happened. I don't know, but have a good weekend, you guys.
All right, thanks for calling in.
He'd have probably got a medal.
Well, didn't he pretty much get that?
No, he got...
He didn't get crap.
He got slapped on the hand and
he didn't get crap.
Told to go home.
Hmm.
And there was an apology for the guys that got hurt real bad looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Should have been tried by a jury of his peers. Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to a break.
Before we do, we got Billy Bob on there.
Let's take care of Billy Bob, and then we'll
go from there. Good morning, Billy Bob.
Hey, guys. Great show, as usual. Hey, listen, I wanted to piggyback on Gary's call a couple of segments ago about the jail and getting these people rounded up in one location. I fully agree. And that we don't need to build so much a jail, but I've always stated that we need Bumville. And all these people that are crowding our city streets, ruining the ambiance of our city, they're all rounded up, and we put them out there at the Stillwater Business Park, put up a 10-acre piece or a 15-acre, whatever it takes. They got plenty of acres out there. And then we put a cyclone heavy Constantino wire fence around them, and
it's like Red Dawn. I mean,
what?
I said that sounds like Red Dawn.
Oh, hey, we got to do something. We got to clean up the city streets. So what we do is we build a couple of metal buildings, one commissary, one bathhouse, and we tent city them, and it'll cost us a little bit of money. Nothing worse than the...
Sounds like a John Steinbeck movie, Grapes of Wrath. We're getting closer.
Yeah, well, and there again, these bums, they could elect their own bum council. They could have their own bum police. They could have everything. I mean, bum medical help or care. I think it's worth thinking about, and like I say, you put them all together in one spot, That way you can put the snipers on the perimeter and keep track of them. So anyway.
I guess the moral of the story is I'm not going to be a vagrant.
All right. I'll let you guys go.
Thanks, all right,
Billy.
Thanks for calling in. And with that, we'll go to a break.
Gird your loins.
If you want to call in with a question or comment, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Touch me in the pouring rain, and the moment that you wander far from me, I want to feel you in my arms again, and you come to me a summer breeze, keep me warm in your love, then you softly leave, and it's me you need to share. How deep is your love?
Reading alone, a property crime is committed every 2.5 hours. That's 3,837 in 2016. That includes burglary, larceny, and vehicle theft. If your business has plants, keep them in planter boxes with sides at least 4 feet high. By making the boxes raised very narrow and allowing plants to grow over them, it makes them difficult to both hide in or sit on for long periods of time. This security moment brought to you by North State Security, an ounce of prevention since 1968.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Rejecting God's moral values leads to moral decay and lawlessness. The cause of this moral decay is the rejection of God, whose ways are absolute and unchangeable. This will eventually affect the ability to recognize the slow decay of one's morals while it decays, pollutes, and corrupts the mind and flesh, especially of our children. By giving your life to Jesus and living according to God's Word, you will be protected against this moral decay. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you there. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Radio, home of the Free Fire Media Community Radio for North State. You can call in 530-605-4567. And, yeah, I'll tell you what the hell is going on out there? We're California dreaming, all right. Good grief. California nightmare.
Yeah. Let me off the bus, okay?
Yeah.
I'm done.
The magic bus.
Yeah. Or the yellow submarine.
Yeah, it might
be
a little easier if it was the magic bus.
Well, this other story that we ran across here, that you ran across, Red, is this the shocking purge. Saudi king arrests billionaire Prince Bin Talha, dozens of others, in a cabinet crackdown. This was yesterday. This is interesting stuff. This guy is one of the biggest shareholders in Citi, News Corp, Twitter, not to mention CBS or CNBC Guest, along with 10 senior princes and some 38 ministers, has been arrested for corruption and money laundering charges on the orders of the new anti-corrupt committee headed by the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salam, while the royal prince's private planes have been grounded. It's like, okay, what's going on?
There's a purge coming in Saudi Arabia. The new prince that's coming to power under his father, he actually released a statement last year saying that Saudi Arabia basically has to become a true member of the world of nations. We have to be open. We have to own our responsibilities and that we have funded terrorism.
So New World Order stuff?
New World Order. Well, he wants to be open and then finally admit and deal with the fact that Saudi Arabia has funded terrorism. That Saudi Arabia is not always this good guy in the Middle East that they have betrayed themselves to. And this guy, Talal, he owns a couple of little companies like Twitter, Citibank, Apple, like you said, CNBC. One of the big, you know, fake news media guys, that's him.
And he's sitting in prison now. He's evidently had a lot of spats with Trump. I mean, I'm looking at some of the Twitter. It was tweeted from this guy, Alweed Tala, he was talking to Trump. You're a disgrace not only to the GOP, but to all America. Withdraw from the U.S. presidential race. You will never win. So he was evidently in the camp of all of the corrupt New World Order guys.
Yeah. Well, he's one of the major players. I mean, he's not on the level of a Soros or something like that. But
pretty close.
He's still an A-lister.
Yeah, I was going to say pretty close because, I don't know.
It represents a seismic shift in Saudi Arabian politics and world politics that this guy's, you know, he hasn't been indicted. He hasn't been charged. The guy's sitting in a prison cell right now.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a shakeup. It's just like we were talking about Steve Bannon. I mean, he's saying that there's a huge shakeup coming that's going to rock the foundations of everything in the world, basically, blah, blah.
Well, I've been following the Saudi thing for a couple of years now, back when they were hemorrhaging money trying to drive down oil prices and stuff when they were going after the Dakota pipeline and trying to kill the American oil boom that was going on, and they were willing to hemorrhage cash by opening up their own wells and drive it down. I've been following Saudi politics. And I'm not sold completely yet, but I think this Prince Salman may be one of the good guys, and he's starting to get some of his own back.
Well, that would be interesting. I guess we'll wait and see. We got about 5 minutes left. I got this other story. Will Russiagate result in social media regulations? This comes from Earth's Final Countdown, and it's actually from Zero Hedge originally. Whether pre-planned or inadvertent, one of the most likely and far-reaching consequences of the fake news Russiagate scandal is that Facebook and other social media giants might soon come under strict regulations by the state. Now, it's like our first guest, that can't be good. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we need more free speech, not less, and we don't need it controlled by the state because they do stellar jobs and everything, don't they? They never screw anything up, do they?
Name one thing the government does right.
One. Hold on. I'll come up with something. Just give me a minute.
Oh, wait.
Army? War? No.
No, the military's good at that. The politicians stink.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Causing strife and division among the people that they govern?
Okay. All right, you got me. You found one.
Earliness?
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew if I thought hard enough, I'd come up with something great.
Well, and you know, and looking at these other ones too, as I'm looking at about four different sites, all starting to run stories about now there's reports and investigations of sexual harassment and things going on in Congress. Strange.
Can we talk about anything that doesn't have sexual things?
No.
Associated with it
that's,
anymore.
That's part and parcel.
I know, it's so disgusting.
There's
people.
No sex.
What if I want to talk about stuff?
Yeah. It's coming home to roost, and it's piling
these
up.
Good,
very
moral people, right?
Yeah. Well, that's, as we were talking about earlier, I think the American people only have so much patience, and the evidence is continuing to mount. There better start being some prosecutions soon.
That's all I got to say, is Jeff Sessions better get off his recused ass and get in there and start doing something about this stuff, or get out.
Yeah.
Get fired, get out,
and
get somebody who's actually not going to be such a pansy-ass female cat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
Yep.
Wussy.
This was locker room talk.
I thought Bob was going for the button there for a second.
He thought he was, too.
He went into his ninja stance.
I was trying to prevent myself from going for the button. Yeah.
He looked like Kwai Chang Kane in the Kung Fu going into his tiger
moves. And what these Democrats are trying to do now, and you're going to see the shift very quickly, they're going to throw the Clinton machine under the bus and try and make it all out like it was all them the whole time.
I didn't know anything. I was not part of it.
I was scared of them while I was writing the checks.
Yeah. I would be too.
Yeah, because people like, Hillary, she didn't get the name Hillary, the nickname reason.
The Clinton kill list up to about
68
bodies.
God, we don't even know. It's like
we're aware of.
Yeah, it's all a coincidence, though. You do understand.
Yeah. Take it all the way back.
Nothing to see here. And, of course, the mainstream media would never cover for the Clintons, would they?
You can't handle the truth.
Been doing it since the beginning.
Yeah.
And maybe it's starting to come to light that maybe they've been covering for the Clintons the whole time because the Clintons have had the dirt on everybody since the beginning. Thanks, Jeffrey Epstein.
Now the rest of the story.
Yeah.
I think it's time.
Because they're dirt.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah, so, I'm thinking a little bit thicker than dirt.
Yeah, but, you know.
Like crap comes to mind. Anyway, this is Sovereign Mind Radio. You've been listening to us, where we put principles above parties, liberty over security, truth over lies. And government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is an angel servant of a fearful master.
And you've been listening to KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State. Have a good week, everybody.
And this is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffith. A sheriff says a man walked into a Baptist church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, and started shooting, leaving multiple people dead. The Wilson County News reports that Wilson County Sheriff Joe Tackett said that the shooter has been taken down. It wasn't immediately known how many people were killed and wounded or who carried out the attack. First responders converged on the church in the small town about 30 miles southeast of San Antonio, and helicopters are taking victims to hospitals. The former head of the Democratic National Committee says that she considered initiating efforts